Everyone now, with Apple Music, sick.
Right. And you know what? If you do have Apple Music, just you don't need to act like you're better than everyone.
No, you shouldn't because you're not.
You're right.
They don't do their own Apple Music. They haven't stolen it.
I don't know.
Now.
That's very surprising.
Great point.
Apple steals all their other ideas from other people.
That's true. That's true. Let us know how you really feel, Nate, as we get into Colin Cowherd, who had some things to say.
Now, this is the stuff I like to hear.
Now, Nate.
This
Nate,
is good
heard
analysis. I have not heard the full audio.
I cannot wait.
I'm excited to hear this.
Everybody listening, so obviously Eagles versus Niners, two quarterbacks who honestly, both quarterbacks have had chips on their shoulders, but Jalen Hurts, second round, much different. Mr. Irrelevant. So Colin Cowherd, who has been in the game for a very long time.
Too long, some would say.
Too long, some would say. So Colin Cowherd has a thing where he cannot stand quarterbacks that wear their hats backwards, from Baker Mayfield to Matthew Stafford. This has been a thing.
Yes.
So Brock Purdy, for as professional as Brock Purdy is, as Nate Littlefield now turns his hat backwards, for as professional as I would say that Brock Purdy is, and we know Jalen Hurts is the consummate professional.
Of course.
Says all the right things. People actually roast him about that. Yes. So Brock Purdy was wearing his hat backwards. And Colin Cowherd, I will just let him do his thing.
There is one thing that does make me pause on San Francisco. You know, I'm a big believer. I like my quarterbacks to be adults. I don't want them to be frat boys. So Jalen Hurts at the podium is the best podium quarterback in the league. Hat on forward, professional, almost manicured. Got that CEO-like, a real grown-up. Brock Purdy. Hey, you guys want to hit some golf balls? You got a hat on backwards. It's not a franchise quarterback. I mean, come on. If that guy came to move your couch, you'd be like, are you a professional? I don't know. I'm telling you, it really bothers me. Maybe I'm overstating. He's probably a nice kid. He's got his dad needs to call him and say, turn that thing around.
Oh, my God.
By the way, you guys say it doesn't matter. All right. I am not, you know, I'm not saying you can't wear it backwards in the garage, playing frisbee, but hacky sack, you know, your baristas out there. I know that's the default dress attire. Franchise quarterback, Wednesday podium, Jalen Hurts is how you want to look. Franchise quarterback, CEO, respectful to the owner and the organization.
There's so much there. First of all, it's a bit.
First off.
Yeah, because he's smirking at the end.
At this point, I don't think he believes it.
This is Colin playing his greatest
hits. Jalen Hurts does look good at the podium.
Of course, he looks good everywhere.
Super good posture.
I saw something on social media that said, every time I think I'm handsome, this dude pops up on my timeline.
Tough.
Every single time.
He doesn't smile either.
No. With that bone structure, why would he?
Yeah.
Why would he?
So he may not even have the bones for it.
This is what Colin Cowherd does. So now if Brock wins, he can say, I was wrong, and make a big joke out
right.
of it.
It could be a segment.
And if Jalen wins, then he can say,
you.
I told you.
Yep.
It's
backwards
hat
theory.
He's been in the game. This is why he's been. The funniest thing for me is that because doing this gig, sometimes you have. Because, you know, you don't write everything down. Sometimes you want to go off the top of the dome with something, right? And then your example isn't as fire as you wanted. So for Colin to have that whole soliloquy about being a professional, and then he says, if somebody came to move your couch
and had a
you'd
backwards
say, what, Colin,
I would say,
hey,
yeah,
man,
you're definitely.
If someone came to move my couch in a suit, I'd say, you're a psychopath. Get out of my house.
Dude. And then he goes on to say what's okay to do with a backwards hat.
Right.
Hacky sack. Like
Frisbee.
Those are in the same category as couch moving, in my opinion.
Yes.
Right?
Couch moving. If somebody
no
came
one
to
plays
move
hacky
my couch,
sack anymore.
No.
I do.
No, you,
no
don't.
You don't.
I have a hacky sack.
Not with your
Doesn't mean you play it.
Well, I'm getting back to it. I have a hacky sack.
Oh, he's getting back in it.
I own
a hacky sack.
Okay.
I'll play hacky sack during the breaks. I'll bring it in tomorrow.
I dare you.
I got to find
it. I'm not here. Do it when I'm here.
I will bring it. I'm just saying.
I mean, that is chef's kiss. That is
It's classic.
Man, that is perfect. He was maybe even channeling his inner Stephen A. I don't know if I'm giving Stephen A. too much credit. Maybe Colin did kind of in his own way pioneer this just wild take, but that is true. Just what are you talking about? Analysis right there. There is nothing to go off of it. This started initially with Baker Mayfield, right? Didn't it?
Well, he hates Baker.
Still does.
And Matthew Stafford is now a Super Bowl
winning quarterback.
But I don't think Colin would probably say I haven't seen his work.
I'd love to ask him.
He wore his hat backwards in Detroit.
I just don't even understand what it stems from. Like, obviously, it's not racially motivated because, that's not the case here.
No.
It sounds like it has some form of, it's clearly prejudice of some sort. It's just why.
He just doesn't think it's professional.
What is it about? What is it about backwards hats that, because it's not just a Colin thing. Like, I remember way, way back, I was on air and, we do this thing on YouTube. And I think I was talking with Whitey, and I turned my hat, got me fired up or something, and I turned my hat, and then I saw in the YouTube chat, don't turn your hat to Whitey Gleason, that's so disrespectful.
Oh, wow.
So, apparently it's a thing, but what is disrespectful or what is unprofessional about a backward, what is it just the fact that it ties into, a stereotype of, a hacky sacker, a frisbee guy. That's clearly a college frat stoner.
Is that
what the implication is? Is that if you're got a backwards hat, you're just a dropout lowlife who doesn't have their stuff together?
If you're Colin, you're to the point now where it would be, if I don't like my quarterback with a backwards hat, then Colin, I would say, probably can't say this because he would get destroyed, probably doesn't like his quarterback with tattoos. What would be the difference?
Exactly. Right.
What would be the difference?
It's unprofessional.
It's unprofessional.
One you can take off. One is there forever.
Well, you would argue.
If anything, that sounds worse.
Colin cannot say that. But there's no way he doesn't feel like that.
Your argument is making, how we had this whole thing about Bud and Buddy, how it feels disrespectful?
Yeah.
This might be our vice versa of that. We don't understand the backwards hat disrespect. A lot of people don't understand that calling me or you Bud is not cool.
Yeah.
And I don't like it.
So, do you think it's mainly just is it an era thing?
I think that's what I'm coming to back here, at least.
Yeah, I think it definitely has something to do with, hey, that's not how you dress. That's not how you do things. I mean, and I also think it could be just, whether it's geographic or whatever. It's just Colin is just saying Colin does not like how a backwards hat represents the franchise. That's really all it is. He thinks that it comes off as you don't take things serious. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You don't do this.
Forward hat,
okay,
though.
Yeah.
That's serious. You're, oh boy.
So that's where Colin is at. It doesn't make any sense. And I got to apologize to our viewers and our listeners because we did promise after the Nick Wright thing that we wouldn't play any wild takes. But Nick Wright.
Because Nick Wright's trying to get a reaction.
Yeah. Nick Wright was trying to base it in some type of fact.
Yeah.
This is
not based in anything.
No, this is just
I'd love to know stats. Who's got stats on backwards hat players in all sports? Who's got that ready to go?
Well, and we need picture. There has to be a picture of Tom Brady in a backwards hat.
Oh,
100%.
Right? Like Patrick Mahomes.
Jalen Hurts has done it.
I guess.
Not at the podium. No.
Oh, he
not
did
at
it.
The
that
podium.
Is true. That is
podium.
True.
Not at the podium.
He could have, but I don't know.
If I'm Patrick Mahomes,
him at OSU.
And this is so weird. I have a horrible correlation to this that I, now I have to say it. Oh man, this is so bad. Please don't get me fired for this.
Oh no.
This is
It's 1 o'clock, brother. We got an hour. You sure?
Do I have to?
Yeah.
Now I feel like I'm in too deep.
Do it.
Okay. This almost feels like V. Stiviano, if we remember the Donald Sterling case.
Uh-huh.
Donald Sterling really had an issue with V. Stiviano, not hanging out with Magic Johnson.
Oh, yes.
He had a big issue with the Instagram. Why are you posting it on Instagram?
Right.
And that feels very much like Colin Cowherd here, where you can wear a backwards hat in your own time. I don't care. Do what you want. But when you're at that podium on Wednesday, you're representing something bigger.
That's right.
It makes no sense. Am I still okay? No bosses?
You're good.
Okay, cool. I tried to keep it as above.
Yeah.
Seems like,
The backwards hat. You know what? You know how they have. You know how they have tight end you and the tight ends are a brotherhood, yes. Right? If I was a if I was boys with Brock Purdy and if I'm Patrick Mahomes, I would immediately go to the podium with the backwards hat.
Oh yeah,
just to troll Colin.
Multiple backwards.
I think Kittle does it this week. Yeah.
The big, hats that were viral. Wear that backwards. That's what I would do. If I'm Brock Purdy and I win this weekend, yeah. I'm getting one of those big hats that were going viral, and I'm turning it backwards and wearing it at the podium.
These guys don't play into that stuff that much, though. This Niners team, they're way too serious, except for Kittle.
Would.
Kittle's the only one, I think.
Kittle
Maybe
would.
Maybe Debo, but it's more like petty with him. But they're all like, we do not care, we don't listen, doesn't matter. They're not playful.
Incredible.
That's something else.
He doesn't have. Does he have any issue with Mike McDaniel and his ankles? Like,
right?
Yeah.
You know? He probably does.
How about the fact? Look, if anything, I got a problem with Kyle Shanahan showing up to press conferences in trucker hats. Okay.
Uh-huh. Right.
Why you got that mesh on the back? Is that a snapback, sir?
That's right.
Come on.
His 5 o'clock shadow too. Just shave.
Just shave. God,
dude. Just shave. Disrespectful.
Yeah. Right.
Come on, dude.
Right. You are a play call. You are a leader of men.
Leader of men.
You are a leader
You're
of men.
You're at the podium.
It's dude, a
the
slippery
president's
slope.
At a podium. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I feel
are
like.
Are you kidding me?
This is the closest, especially in this day and age. This is the might be one of the only things appearance wise that Colin could get away with. Because just like I brought up tattoos, yeah. I don't know if there's anything else Colin could even mention that would not get him destroyed. Destroyed because this is fun and playful. It's a hat,
yeah.
But anything else looks wise.
Well, that's what I was like.
It's dicey.
It feels. It already feels like it's baseline, like borderline tipping on the line of like you. There's a
be
deep.
Careful.
There's a deep rooted issue here that I don't know if like your mom. You know, you walked in and your mom was some guy who had a backwards hat on you didn't like.
Colin is probably my parents' age, and it wasn't so much. My parents, as much as it was legitimately playing baseball, which is completely different on the field, because Griffey, that was a big deal with Griffey.
That was the thing.
That was a big deal with Griffey. He did it in the home run derby. Do not wear your hat backwards on the baseball field. Obviously, nobody would do it during a game, but even during practice, turn your hat around.
We're talking about practice.
That's insane. Your hat around. Yeah. And I would even say that makes more sense because you're playing baseball.
Sure.
Okay, you need a hat. You wear
the
hat.
It's kind of for... protection,
now,
right,
now you did have the coaches who you would be on a trip. You would be on a baseball trip or whatever, eating dinner, and they would say, turn your hat around.
Sure.
That was a big thing. But to me, so that's the closest I've gotten or I could see. But Colin, you're not even, I don't know, it's just a representation.
Yeah, I mean, is it like a lax, like it feels like it's too relaxed for a serious job? Like, again, like Nate was kind of, it's not like it's the president's podium. Like, if the president of the United States walks up to the podium and he's briefing us on, you know, international affairs and he has a backwards hat on and some sunglasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's not a great look, but. Yeah, if Brock Purdy's explaining to me why the Eagles are a tough matchup on, I'm okay with him looking lax as that happens.
Okay,
we interview guys in the locker room with no clothes on and just a towel.
Yeah,
hanging,
that, right.
What are we talking about?
We got to get to a break, but I will say my question would be: does it change the situation? I'll just leave you with this. If the Niners go to the Super Bowl and it's that big press conference, it's Radio Row, right? It's Media Day, and Brock has a backwards hat on. Does it change if it's the Super Bowl?
No.
I'm just asking.
No.
I'm asking.
Radio Row seems like chill.
It seems more lax
just the media availability. I had to ask.
I guess. Maybe he should just go shirtless, go crazy, dude.
Right.
Who
Flip
cares,
flops.
Man?
On that note, we got to get to a break. When we get back, we talk about the NBA trades, but is anything really going to happen? And if so, when? Sals and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Sals and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Lot to get into, a lot that we've gotten into. The Kings, couple days off, which is rough for us, right? Yeah. You had all of this. I mean, the Tuesday night, there was just so much. Crazy. And then they just pull the rug from under you. And now you don't have any Kings basketball until Saturday.
Yeah, it's so weird. I mean, it feels like the NBA could have done a better job of making, I mean, I don't know what the Clippers schedule looks like, but like, why couldn't they have had it so, you know, the Clippers and Kings play today and then they can play the Warriors tomorrow? It just feels weird that the schedule had to play out this way, but nonetheless, you play the schedule that's in front of you, and the Kings definitely got the short end of the stick. It just feels like it would have been nice to enjoy that Golden State win for a little and then also give the Kings some time off after such an emotional high. It's almost like, it's almost expected. Like, the Kings were fighting so much adversity to overcome what they had just dealt with. I mean, it's almost like they were punished for having the comeback on Tuesday.
Right, exactly. And it's, you know, you can't necessarily go back and forth with, oh, well, if they had done this, you know, if they had played, you can't do that. Right. It's just the flow of the game. That's just kind of how it goes. Quickly, I did want to get to Seahawks versus Cowboys and who the Niner fans should be rooting for. I think this is a pretty super simple answer.
You think?
Me. Well, I mean, where are the Seahawks now in the standings?
Are you a big Niners guy, or what? What's your
affiliation?
Yeah, affiliation with the 49ers.
I will decline to comment.
Okay, because I am just a diehard Niners fan. I am not rooting for either one of these teams to win. I am rooting for one of them to lose, and I'm having a very hard time figuring it out.
No, but I'm just looking at this logistically.
Yeah, no, and that I still am, because like, I think it's a two-game difference, right?
Yeah,
right.
Niners and Seahawks, yeah.
Right, Niners are 8-3, Seahawks are 6-5, let's say. Now the next time the Niners play the Seahawks, they will be in San Francisco, Santa Clara.
Yeah.
But let's say the Seahawks beat the Cowboys, which would be a really good win for the Seahawks. Yeah. I don't see it happening. But let's say the Seahawks win tonight.
Yep.
They're 7-5, and let's say the Niners lose this weekend, they would now be 8-4. So the Seahawks would have an opportunity to beat the Niners in Santa Clara. So, yeah, and then they would be tied in the loss column. And then who knows what happens? The Niners still have the Ravens on Christmas. So it is, now that you mention it, Nate, I think I just kind of felt like the Seahawks were cooked.
Yeah.
And
it wouldn't matter if they won anyway.
Yeah, and to be honest, I just don't see the Seahawks beating the Cowboys.
It's not a legitimate threat.
Seahawks have just been not like, everything's trending in the wrong direction for them, especially injuries. Geno Smith has just looked bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, he got his comeback player of the year from nothing, and then he just went back to that. So,
why you got to say that?
He just threw that.
Well, that's true. That's true. Like, what did he come back from?
You hate Pete Carroll?
Yes. God, I hate them.
Marshawn?
No. I don't like the Seahawks.
Marshawn.
I don't like the Seahawks at all. Marshawn's cool, whatever. It's cool he's from Oakland. Like, that's fine. But, dude, if you wear that uniform, like, I'm not a fan. Like, the Richard Sherman stuff's tough. It's weird seeing him wear Niners stuff.
Yeah.
When he's breaking down Niners Seahawks, he's got a Niners hat on forward, by the way.
Yeah, got to. He's a professional guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I did send you guys a picture of Tom Brady at the podium backwards hat, too.
I see that.
So, I hate Seahawks. That's all I got to say. Hate him.
It does feel, I feel like Niner fans should, in a weird way, root for the Seahawks because, I mean, that takes Dallas down a peg, and that's always great to see. And it does, to Nate's point, and to also your point, Alan, like, I don't think the Seahawks are really a legitimate threat to the Niners. I think if anything, it's just a matter of record, it looks better on the resume if the Seahawks are better and the Niners take care of them twice down the stretch here. So I feel like, if you're a Niner fan, you should kind of, in a weird way, be rooting for the Seahawks to look like good competition, so that when you face them, it might not feel like good competition, but at the very least, on paper, you can say, "Hey, we beat a scrappy Seahawks team." I guess record shouldn't affect how the team actually is, but that's, you know, narratives kind of also play a factor in all of this stuff,
right? And the Cowboys, you have the head to head against the Cowboys,
right?
And the Cowboys are also 8-3.
Yes.
They have the same record as you.
Yeah.
So you have to root for the Seahawks.
Right. Actually, that's a good point. Right. Because then you essentially get another game. You're then essentially two games ahead of the Cowboys.
Because you own
the tiebreaker, right? That's interesting. That's definitely it. Right.
You have to, Nate.
This is logical. Oh, I don't have to do that. And I'm not going to do that. But I, with the Cowboys, I think Niners fans and maybe every other person on earth doesn't think at any point the Cowboys will beat the Niners.
I don't either. I don't either.
Like,
but
even Micah Parsons thinks that.
Well, who are you worried about more, the Cowboys or the Seahawks?
I literally think it might be the same. Maybe the Seahawks.
Well, I don't think
the
don't
Seahawks because of the emotional scars, maybe.
No.
That I have. Okay, so well, you ask you, me you and gotta, you just say no.
But because that's not, it's not right.
I get. I mean, I think the Cowboys on paper are a better team, but I don't know if they can hang with the Niners at all.
I don't think so either, but who do I think could, I'm just saying, who do I think could figure it out is the Cowboys. I just don't think the Seahawks, and both teams got blasted by the Niners,
yeah.
But the Seahawks are just, the Cowboys look like they underperformed.
Yeah.
The Seahawks just aren't good enough, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, they have a better coach. But, I mean, yeah. Yeah,
and law of averages, sure. I would say with the Cowboys, if you were to play the Cowboys next, it would be in higher stakes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's my issue: is I would be more hurt or embarrassed to lose to the Seahawks, like in the playoffs.
Course.
So I think maybe that's where my issues are stemming from.
It's not gonna happen.
God, please don't jinx them like that.
There's no way, Nate. There is no
don't
way.
Don't say it. Don't say that. Just I understand what you're going to say. You don't have to say it out loud. You don't have to say
it's
it on
the
air.
It's not a jinx if I say it. It's a jinx if you say it. It's not how jinxes work.
It scares me to hear guarantees like that. It scares
me. I'm not Charles Barkley.
Nate, is there any of like the, if the Cowboys win today, it maybe even just pushes the Seahawks completely out of the playoff picture? Because if the Niners don't get the one seed, they don't get the bye, and they're going to have to play the weakest wild card team, which I think at the moment is Seattle, if I'm not mistaken.
The Rams could sneak in, too. There's a lot of all things right. going on. They could. They really could. They've been playing well. Nothing's locked in. Nothing's set in stone yet. So I don't want the Seahawks to win football games ever.
Cowboys. Yeah, if you're afraid of playing the Seahawks in the playoffs, then I think you should be rooting for the Cowboys.
This is like a straw man argument.
No.
And this is a really tough conversation for me to have.
Well, we gave you a fun one with the backwards hat last time.
Yeah.
So,
this is getting serious.
Tough questions.
I truly, truly hate the Seahawks so much. Like, it's the most intense rivalry I've been a part of or been a witness of. It's that, I mean, that era, that Harbaugh era, and then post, I mean, all through Russell Wilson's era, and they were still, I don't understand how they were still good after that whole mess, and I guess it's because of coaching, because I don't like saying it, they have a good front office, they do a good job, they are a good franchise, I can't stand them. they're like disgusting to me.
I hear you.
It's all emotional. It's not logical.
No, for sure.
And I get, like, older Niners fans, maybe, and a lot of people in the NFL really hate the Cowboys.
Right.
And they have similar feelings like this. But the problem is the Niners haven't had issues with the Cowboys like this. And they're not divisional. That's way different when you see them. Like last year, we saw them three times last year.
Yeah.
In the Harbaugh era, we saw them three times, the NFC Championship in one season. And that's brutal. So Pete Carroll's still there. They're the same. They have the worst jerseys in the league still there. I don't know. That's my issue.
I feel like if you're afraid of the Seahawks, then you should definitely be rooting for the Cowboys, because you should just be rooting for the Seahawks to not be involved in the conversation at all. If you feel confident enough that the Niners have the Cowboys number, then it shouldn't matter if you face the Cowboys in the playoffs. But if you're nervous that there's a chance that in that first round you face Seattle, and yeah, Seattle might not have a good record, but for whatever reason, divisional rival, you've beaten them enough times, maybe, you know, you're due for a game. It would suck for that one game to happen in the wild card. Sorry, Nate, if I'm just like bringing everything to
a
forefront for you.
You're being a realist. It's something
like,
I need to hear.
It just feels like if...
Why is it okay when Chris says it, but
I
not
felt
me?
Like you were more poking the bear, and he was kind of softening the blow.
I poke no bears. I poke no bears.
He just asks questions. That's all he does.
I just ask questions. Got to get to a break. Now we got another fun one for Nate and the listeners and the viewers. Shout out to the YouTube chat, Ben Roland. Thank you for the callers.
Nate's rooting for a tie tonight.
Well, Nate's rooting for a tie, which is could happen. Got to get to a break. When we get back, our Spotify Wrapped reveals. Not wasting any time. It just came out yesterday. And Nate said, we're doing it now. We're doing it live. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. One more segment before we get to crossover with the Drive guys. Fun one. We just saw Simone pop in. Happy birthday,
really?
Simone.
Wow.
Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday, happy birthday to you. Come on.
Simone.
Come on. Simone. Come on.
Yeah, got to get those Migos ad-libs in there.
Yeah.
Birthday.
Yeah. Birthday. Candles.
You guys are legends. Thank you.
There you go. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. As we get to another fun segment, because Nate looked like he was ready to try to bench press me in the last segment. Spotify Wrapped.
I wasn't that mad.
No, you're good.
You were mad.
You just treated me differently than Chris. It's all. It's not a big deal. I don't think of you any differently. You're still my guy. So here we go.
It's fine if you did.
And everybody is already judging us. I was so embarrassed when Drizzy came up number one. Can I say this, though, about the Spotify Wrapped, and I love it?
Sure.
There's always about 10 songs on there that you have no clue how they got there, right?
Yes. And I'm like super frustrated about it. I'm like, you're making me look bad
right,
here. Like I'm
right.
not trying to have, you know, some of these, you know, some, you know, I sometimes got to play music in the car for my girlfriend. Like this Taylor Swift ain't me. Is what I'm saying.
No, you know, I promise. I don't know. And I do put my tinfoil hat on sometimes because I have a problem. And this is actually not where this was supposed to go. But I have a problem. But I have a problem with Spotify. First of all, they raised their prices.
They did.
Okay, brutal. They raised their prices. And I'm a guy who, Chris, you have a lot of music on there. I see you've listened to more time than me. 27,000.
A lot of that's
20,000 for me. And right, mine is all music, right?
I had 18,000 minutes of listening to podcasts this year. So yeah,
there you go.
Yeah,
that's
a lot. A lot of that is podcast minutes.
So
do you sleep with it? Falling asleep to it? Okay,
no, I don't.
So here you go. Basically, not too long ago, or it might even be over a year ago now, Spotify updated. Spotify basically wants to take you away from liked songs. That's what it feels like because you can't see what songs are liked anymore on your phone,
really?
Right? You have to go to liked songs and then it has your list.
Gotcha.
It doesn't just show the heart to say, okay, I already liked this song.
Right.
They want to move you towards making playlists. And I have a bunch of playlists. I make a new Music Friday playlist every week with the things that I like.
Oh, you got to make that public.
I'll post it sometimes, on the gram and things like that. But what I'm saying is the tinfoil hat is that when I put something on shuffle and Drake keeps coming up, right? It's not that he dropped a new album this year. It's not that I'm necessarily playing Drake songs over and over again. But if it's their default and then it keeps on coming back to shuffle, I'm thinking, dude, I got 100 songs on this playlist. And every time I click shuffle, the same
Drake songs, and the breakdown isn't
that crazy.
It's not.
Now all of a sudden, Drake's my most listened to artist. Is he in reality? I don't know. I'm not sure.
I didn't think he was mine, and I would even admit, like I'm proud to admit, I'm a Drake fan, and I wouldn't even say that I would not say that I've listened to more Drake than anyone else. But yet, I think for very similar reasons, like I just kind of will play those curated playlists, and then it feels like 8 out of 10 times the first song is Drake and then like 4 of the 5 songs are Drake. But that's also, I feel like that's also strategic planning.
What was your guys' percentage Drake listeners? Because it'll tell you like top.
It told me I was in the top 4.
Yeah,
and I don't believe that.
I was top 8.
I don't believe that.
Okay.
I'm just
666.
Maybe I'm telling on myself.
Alan from the 6.
And look, just to make it clear here for those driving and make it much more palatable for those driving around. I'll go through mine and then you guys can go through yours because they cannot see what our list is.
Great point.
So number one, for number one, I have Drake for my most listened to artist. Number two, I have Toby Lou. Number three, I have Rod Wave. Number four, I have Leon Thomas. And number five, I have Friday. Now, I see you on the YouTube chat, Paul Riddle, get some genre diversity. Hold on there. Hold on there,
they
Paul Riddle.
They show you your
hold on there, Paul
genre
Riddle.
Diversity.
Because my songs are very diverse. I have Days Come and Go by Lil Uzi. Okay. I have Montana Sky by, and I'll say it out loud, the Jonas Brothers.
Okay.
That song is a slapper. Okay, that song
is a
slapper.
That's your number two, isn't it?
That's my number two.
Wow.
Number three, I got Big Seven. Okay, and that is by my guy, Burna Boy. All right, so I got the Afro beats in there.
Nice.
Number four, I got Missing You by Tori Kelly, which is full-blown pop.
Yeah.
Okay, and number five, I got Fight the Feeling, which is crying hip-hop by Rod Wave. So I'm diverse in my songs. It's just the artists that continue to come up over and over again. So I hear you, Paul Riddle. I got it out there. And my wife loves R.I.P. Tom Petty. So we get the Tom Petty going too. So Paul Riddle, I got you. Okay, we got it all going. It's just this artist situation. the way my Spotify account works, they playing me. So
they
Chris, go ahead with yours.
Yeah, I would say if anybody needs some diversity in their music, it's probably me. Mine's pretty one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. I've got Drake as my number one. I've got Kendrick Lamar as my number two. I've got Tom Misch as my number three. I've got J. Cole as my four, and I've got Anderson .Paak as my number five.
You are and I'm not judging.
I also got a nice little personal message from Anderson .Paak for being on it.
You are kind of the classic. You are the prototype hip hop listener.
That's
right
what
now.
Because
you got Drake for your bangers.
Whoa, hold on.
You got Drake for your bangers, and then you got, hey, I got to go Kendrick because he's deeper.
Yeah.
I got Cole because he's deeper.
Yeah.
And you're a free thinker, so you got Anderson .Paak.
Exactly, with the beats. I would say
free thinker
no.
Got me.
But
free
like, I just feel, like, I mean, I think I said it earlier, like I stay with the top, like Drake, Kendrick, and Cole. Those guys are probably every single year going to be in some version of my top five, but I feel like Drake wasn't my actual top artist.
I don't know.
I'm really
then I'm
hurt
in the top
by
four.
It really bothers me. And then, I'll just get to my songs real quick. As Nate put here, because, some of these songs need to be edited, Jumbotron Stuff Poppin' by Drake, Doja, which is just a great beat, Die Hard by Kendrick Lamar is number three. Again, another edited song, Frick Sleep or Forget Sleep or... F Sleep, if you will, by ASAP Mob is great. And then Fair Trade by Drake. So, I guess there's a couple of Drake songs in there. So I guess it makes sense.
Wow. See, that's what's bizarre. Actually, you make up a good point. And then Nate can go, I don't have one Drake song in my top five.
You don't.
Songs.
Yeah. I mean, I got some issues with music, I guess. I just like
Nate,
get lost
I have a
in
lot
older
of questions
stuff.
About your list.
For sure. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I mean, there's not much to say.
My number one, I got super into Mac DeMarco this year. He's kind of like a one-man band, dude. Mm-hmm. Just like chill. You could put it on any time. A lot of stuff's instrumental. So I just put it on just trying to like find new stuff to listen to. And then I just went down a deep 3-6 Mafia hole this year.
Because
you'll see not only 3-6 Mafia, you're going to see Project Pat and Juicy J. Like,
yes.
Yeah, it's just, I just went through all their old stuff just over and over again to just try to find what I liked. I just love the way they use like 808s and like their samples are so cool. Not too much to say.
I just didn't clock you for a 3-6 Mafia.
Well, I mean, that's so crazy because
Mafia
do you know how
like
much
such a specific
I love Project
point in time.
Pat.
Do you
dude.
Know how much you have to listen to have the to have 3-6 Mafia as a top artist and then have the members of 3-6 Mafia
that's
as
I know,
your
dude.
Top
I know,
artist?
I know. It's
that's
weird.
Like every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my minutes listened are a lot lower.
That's true.
It's about half.
That means anytime you listen to Spotify,
bro,
you're
like
listening
literally,
3-6 Mafia.
Yeah, I mean, I do like 3-6 Mafia.
Now we know
underground Atlanta rap, dog.
Yeah.
Memphis.
God,
wow,
yeah. Great movie. Yeah.
A lot of 3-6.
I love 3-6. I don't know what else I can say.
No, that's good stuff.
Also
man.
I think Project Pat's super underrated.
Super underrated.
I would imagine.
Yeah, Nate, what percent were you for 3-6 Mafia?
I
you
know.
Had to have
Dang,
been 1%.
I don't know. I don't know if
I can
told
tell
me.
You.
Nate,
you
had
are 0.005.
I had to be, but Can I check for individual? Because they weren't my number one.
Oh,
so
that's
gonna
true.
Show,
right.
That's
it
true.
Only shows your number one.
Yeah. So
that just shows how much you liked.
You're right,
Marco.
Yeah.
I know. It's pretty embarrassing.
No,
well, Nate,
no,
what's your,
no.
What's your best 3-6 Mafia song? We'll also go down your top songs as well.
But. Oh, No Man, which is like X-Wolf. Do you know him? No. Xavier Wolf and Juicy J. Okay. Cool song. Yeah, cool.
You're there for
yeah.
Juicy J.
Yeah. Exactly. Project Pat song, Take the Charge. Strictly Business, which is an EPMD song. That's an old song.
Okay.
It got caught in my head. I would listen to it like every day. Tracy, California, but that's a Larry June song. That's
we're absolutely here.
I play that song as a rejoiner a lot. And then R.I.P. Young, which is it's Isaiah Rashad and 3-6.
Oh yeah,
Mafia.
For sure. Oh, 3-6. Wait,
Mafia.
Featuring who?
I'm sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. So
you like what you like.
I like Isaiah. I like TDE. So top dog.
This might sound weird. Is 3-6? So 3-6 Mafia is still putting out new music.
I don't really care that, really.
Oh, you're here for the...
I like their features with newer guys, but I definitely just went through all their old, like literally dirty-sounding music. Like, it sounds like it was recorded.
So you like lo-fi. You like lo-fi. That's hot in the streets right now. Lo-fi for those listening.
I'm in a trend for that, for sure. I'll throw on those YouTube playlists. See, that's not on here. I got a temporary thing with YouTube Premium, and I'm putting on, like, two-hour-long lo-fi mixes. When I'm working or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
That also have 3-6 Mafia. We got to get to a break. And for those who are wondering, lo-fi is basically, if you imagine it is trendy right now.
Sounds like you're in the other room.
Right.
It's like muffled.
Yeah.
Right. Like grimy. I'm trying to think of, what is it that Macklemore went to? Where's the place he went?
Macklemore's not anywhere on my list, by the
way. His biggest song.
Thrift Shop.
It's kind of like going through a thrift shop.
It's like
of
a
music.
Treble heavy.
It's used. Know, it sounds garbled a little bit.
Yeah.
It sounds like your buddy made it, but your buddy's really
talented. It doesn't sound like Drake, I'll tell you guys that.
All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, crossover with the Drive Guys, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m., joined by our guy, Kyle Draper. And Kyle, you asked the question last night about De'Aaron Fox. Could he be the best Sacramento King of all time?
Of all time.
Now, Chris we had a conversation earlier today about De'Aaron dropping 40 and his mindset dropping 40. And do you think he thought in his mind at some point, not to the detriment of the team or anything, but do you think he thought in his mind at some point, hey, these guys they're not showing up here. Let me do what I do and see if I can get us back in this ball game.
Yeah, I think that's 100% what it was. And what we've seen from De'Aaron in terms of his development is sensing what the team needs and when it needs it. Sometimes he comes out like a gangbuster early on. You know, last year it was all fourth quarter Fox.
Right.
This year you're seeing it sometimes in the first quarter, sometimes second. San Antonio, I could think about. You know, he turned it on in that game. And so I think he realized nobody had it last night. Maybe Sasha, but outside of that, if we're going to get back into this game, I got to be better. I got to try and put the team on our back. Nearly did. They made that run in this game late. He came up short. What I don't think it was, and I'm seeing a little bit of this on social media from some haters out there, you know, oh, he's just running up some numbers in the game that, you know, they're going to lose anyway, you know? Mm-hmm. And so he's just trying to get it. I didn't get that vibe last night watching it.
No, I wouldn't put it like that, but I would say that if you want to be an MVP candidate, You have to have good numbers most nights, right? But I'm not saying that's why he did it.
Okay, yeah,
I'm not saying that's why he did it.
Right, but that's why you average 30 points a game.
That's how you do it.
Most nights, you put up really good numbers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, so.
Yeah, so I'm not coming at you.
I don't want to get into it. Well,
I'm not going to come at him on that.
No, the question is how it's framed.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, because we're not saying We're not saying you were stat padding.
I was never,
he's not stat padding at all. It was more of, I'm the guy tonight, it seems like to
me.
So I'm just going to keep rolling. That's how I would say it. Chris gives me that
look. I'm not going to engage. I'm just not going to engage. Kyle, you were, please correct me if I'm wrong, were you sitting, they had you courtside-ish on Tuesday, right?
That Warriors game? Yeah.
How was that? Because it seemed it was a very vocal game, and it would have been probably the best game to be having that kind of seat. Like, what was some of that chatter like? You know, we saw Draymond from our seat.
Yeah.
He got into it with Steve Kerr after his tech and then kind of got into it with the bench as well. Just what are some of the things you heard?
It was amazing, man. It gave me a new appreciation, you know, for the game, the NBA, and that seat in general. You know, usually when we sit there, we're calling a game.
Exactly.
So you got your headset on. You can't hear it. You don't focus. You know, I'm sitting there. And Steve Kerr is right there basically at midcourt, and I can hear everything he's saying. You know, there was a call late in the game that Draymond wanted him to challenge.
Right.
Look, Draymond, I don't have any timeouts. I can't challenge. You know, you hear stuff like that.
Yeah.
You hear Draymond arguing, you know, pleading his case, if you will. I won't say arguing.
Yeah.
I'll say pleading his case. You'll hear Mike Brown in the way he communicates with the officials out there as well. And so it was a new appreciation, man. It was, you know, as close to courtside as I could get. And not working at that, you get a newfound understanding of what's happening out
there.
Could
you feel Draymond kind of ramping up as that check was happening?
Oh,
I mean, after he falls.
Yes. And I could also sense Steve Kerr sort of trying to be like that parent trying to calm down their kid in those instances.
Yeah.
He could sense it also, and he's trying to keep Draymond calm, trying to keep him focused, trying to say, play on. Like when Draymond flopped, Steve Kerr nearly went over to the king side of the bench. He's like,
get up,
come on, let's go, you know? Because even Steve Kerr in that moment realized, and, you know, from what I saw, that it was a flop too.
Right.
He's like, Draymond, stop rolling around.
Not
get
the
up.
Time.
This isn't the time. And so, no, it was a great vantage point.
That's crazy, man. That's awesome. I mean, I just can't imagine because, that game felt like, I mean, from the Draymond stuff to, it felt like, you know, Steve Kerr, maybe you can speak to that. Like, it felt like Steve Kerr kind of, at one point was like, I don't know what to do. Like, Steph, go get your guy. We saw Steph step in front of him. It just seemed like a really chatty game, and especially between those two teams, it feels like there's obviously a lot of history there.
You know what, fellas? Can I chime in here for
Absolutely.
A little bit?
High flyer.
Welcome in, Henry. Welcome
in.
Hey,
what's going on? Like, Drapes, I don't know if he was here at the time, but I used to sit at the end of the visitor's bench.
Okay.
You know, and
there are a lot of stuff over there, I assume.
Bro, that's where you want to be because it's like this. I know what our fans think about our players.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know how our players get down. We go to practice every once in a while. We know how Mike Brown get down. I want to hear what the other team feel about our players. You learn so much down there. And like you say, you sit right there so you hear exactly.
Yep.
I mean, from where I used to sit, I used to watch the coach diagram the plays.
Right.
You know, and I used to listen to the coach say, this is who we want to attack. Mm-hmm. This is what we want to attack. That's where you find out what's on the scout report.
Right.
Right.
You know, how they feel about, let's say, you know, Kevin Huerter, or how they feel about De'Aaron, you know, how they think that they can stop him.
Right.
I mean, that was one of the best seats that I have ever had to really just sit there and listen and just soak up everything. Because like I said, I want to know what the opposition feels about or what they think about our players.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's really a good point. And when you get that other perspective, you can look in the mirror and say, okay, this is where we can be better. Or this is where people think that they can take advantage of us. Now, I know it's a lot of fun talking about the Warrior game, but we got to talk about the game from last night. We looked up what the Nuggets did last season in back-to-backs. They only had 12. The Kings have 15. This season, the Nuggets went 7-5 last season in back-to-backs. And I feel like that's basically what you need. So the Kings are currently 0-2 in back-to-backs. And I think realistically, you get to what? Out of 15, you get to 6-9, 7-8. And that's really all you could hope for in these back-to-back situations.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Go ahead.
Because, see, I've actually participated in back-to-backs.
Mm-hmm.
What's the big deal about back-to-backs? I mean, this is we've played back to back games since the 70s, 80s.
Yep.
It's nothing new.
Yeah.
We've done this. So why is it a big question about, oh my God, they got back to backs? Bro, they fly and travel the best. You've been on the plane, bro.
No, but high fly. You've I'm going to push back. If we're going to get into this on our show. I've been on the bus. No, but not, not all back-to-backs are created equal.
Absolutely not.
That's what I'm saying.
I understand you got to travel. I understand you got to travel. What I'm saying is, KD, we've been doing this since the 80s. Why is it such a big question now or a big travesty of, oh, my God, we got back-to-backs, bro?
The players aren't saying that. It's the media.
No,
it's the fans.
No, it's players and coaches.
No,
come on.
Players and coaches are saying we got to be better in back-to-backs.
Popovich started.
Today,
Greg Popovich started it.
In this conversation today, this is not coming from the coaches. Nobody's complaining about it. This is a media creation.
No, it's
and this
not.
Is my problem, High Fire. Not to take over y'all's show, but this is my. There's a lot of fake outrage today about this whole back-to-backs and things like that.
And load,
all back-to-backs
and
are not equal, fellas.
And load
go
management.
Ahead, go ahead, Styles.
No.
That's great.
We were just talking about our Spotify. That's when you pay for the free sample.
Yeah.
That's what we got. You got 4 hours of that tonight. So you definitely want to listen to the Drive Guys with the High Flyer in for Whitey Gleason. Henry Turner, thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins. Secure the bag, light the beam.